We started last week here in Psalm 21. We're not going to read the whole thing. We will read through verse 6 here because we're just in the first part of it. The Bible says, "The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice." "Thou hast given him his heart's desire and hast not withholden the request of his lips, Selah. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold upon or on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him, for thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High he shall not be moved." We'll stop reading there, but we started the outline on the chapter, and we said we were going to divide in two parts. The first part, which we started working on last week, is the delight of the king found in verses 1 through 6. There's two parts of that as well, or subpoints, if you want to call them that. The first one is the cause for his delight. And there's 8 things that we're looking at there. We looked at 4 of them, and we'll pick up there. And then the second part of that is the character in the king's delight. We went through these things here just briefly. The first thing we saw in verse 1 was that the power in the cause, and then we saw the preservation in the cause in verse 1 as well. We're not going to go over everything we said there. And then in verse 2, we saw the passion in the cause here that he said his heart's desire. Thou hast given him his heart's desire. And then in verse 3, we saw the fourth thing was the purity in the cause, where it says, "Thou preventest him with blessings of goodness." The word preventest there means to proceed or to meet for help. That's not a word that we use in our daily language today, English language, but it means to meet the need that he has there, or to proceed, to go before him. And then I believe we stopped with that one. I didn't mark where I stopped, which I usually do, but I'm pretty sure we stopped there. And then verse number 3 as well is point number 5, where it says, "Thou preventest him with blessings of goodness," as we continue in that verse. And that is, this one is the prosperity in the cause. It says, "For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness, thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head." God caused David to prosper, and David, in return, gave God the glory for it. You see, the prosperity there that he gives him, he said he prevents him, he meets him, or goes before him, and he says he's doing that with blessings of goodness, but he also sets a crown of pure gold upon his head. He's caused David to prosper, and God can cause you and I to prosper as well as we obey him. That prosperity may not be found down here in Woodsboro Bank or whatever bank you deal with, but prosperity in many other ways, God can bless us with that prosperity. Turn over to Psalm 62. Just hold your place there. We'll be right back. Psalm 62 and verse 10, another psalm of David here, says, "Trust not." Well, let's back up to verse 8. "Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they're altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. David, back in Psalm 21, as the king, he was caused to prosper there, where he said that God had given him blessings of goodness and set a crown of gold upon his head. It sounds to me like David's being pretty blessed here. He's prospering pretty well, but yet he still keeps the Lord in his rightful place in his life, and he gives him the glory. Or otherwise, he wouldn't have said over here in Psalm 62 to trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. David knew in Psalm 62 that riches had increased. He come a long way from tending sheep to being the king and having a crown of gold set upon his head. And he knew what it was to not have and to have as well. We can learn from that. Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22. You can turn over there. Keep us moving around here this morning. Keep us awake. Proverbs 22 and verse 4. By humility and fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Solomon here, David's son, writing in Proverbs, he says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Those things come when we are humble, and when we honor the Lord, he will give us these things. Back in Psalm in chapter 21, I will say, in addition to that, what we have said is the fact that when God blesses, he does it in a supernatural way. He can do things, bless us in ways that are uncomparable to way that we could be blessed in this world. Then another thing we see in verse 3 is found here. That's number 6 in the outline, is that there is, we see promotion in the cause. Number 6, it says, thou settest a crown of gold upon his head. David had been promoted from keeping the sheep, from the sheep herding business, to the throne of God's people, in spite of all of Saul's opposition. We've seen in the past Psalms, we've studied a lot of Saul's opposition to David here, but yet God promoted him. He says, set us a crown of gold on his head. We can turn back and let's turn back. I want you to see something. When David is actually crowned the king here, let's go back to 2 Samuel chapter 2. And just in studying this, I looked at this and I thought, you know, I need to share that with everyone. Not that you don't know it. Sure you do. But here, I saw something in David here as he was crowned the king here. Let's start in verse 1. We'll read up through verse 4. And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? Now this is after Saul has been killed, okay? So David's seeking, once again, seeking the Lord's guidance and where he should go. Pay attention to David's conduct here as he's being promoted. It says, and the Lord said unto him, go up. I'll stop right there and tell you that as we navigate through this Christian life, whether we're young or old, when we need to move, when we feel the need to move, or the sense that we think God wants us to move or change, make a change in our lives, we need to do just like David here. We need to seek his guidance. Because everything that we want to do is not always what God wants to do or wants us to do. We need to seek his guidance in everything, in all things. And, you know, sometimes I've been guilty of that. Sometimes it's the smallest things that I don't really, I think, you know, I got this under control. Hey, we got money for that. We can handle that or something like that. But, you know, I think God wants us to pray and ask him about many things. But especially I think about this time of year, the graduation we had last week, and I was really blessed, not just because I had a son in it, but it was a good time here last Sunday night, and I thank the Lord for that, and fine to be able to stand here and speak a few words to three aspiring young men that are, you know, launching out. And like I said, it kind of gives me a flashback of 40 years ago. And it's unbelievable that it's been 40 years since that's where I was. But nonetheless, as they launch out, that's one thing. It's kind of like here, it kind of connects to this. And not just them, it's any of us that we're faced with a decision. You know, it's been a little over a year ago that I had a job change, and I hadn't had a job change in 15 years, and it just didn't come too easy to me. But as I prayed and sought God's will, I saw him opening doors and changing. I saw doors closing and doors opening, and one of the clearest decisions I think I've ever had in my life was to take this job that I have now. And it's worked out well. And I thank the Lord for it. But anything we do, we have to think about David and how he conducted himself here. He said, he asked the Lord, he inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up into the cities of Judah?" He's praying. He's asking the Lord, "What should I do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Go up." He didn't say, "Well, I don't know right now, David, if it's my will for you to go. I'm not too sure about this, David. Maybe we ought to wait. Maybe we ought to sit on the sidelines a while." No, he gave him an answer, and God will give us an answer. It's either stay or go. Wait or go. And God, because God is not the author of confusion. So if you got a decision you're faced with and you're majorly confused about it, go think about that. Say, "This is so confusing. It's so hard for me." Who's the author of confusion? It is not God. So, and I know that's harder as a young person because you're faced with decisions that you've never been faced before. But I can tell you this, it doesn't get any easier. I'm 57, and the decisions don't get any easier. But I have learned one thing. You need to trust him to guide you through those steps, no matter what it may be. No matter how insignificant we may think it is, we should trust God for that decision. It's a whole nother message within the message this morning. Nothing was planned there. Just want to bring that out as I saw that where it said, "The Lord said, go up." Clear answer. And David said, "Whither shall I go up?" And he said, "Unto Hebron." So David wanted more details. "Where should I go, Lord?" And he said, "Go to Hebron." So clear answer there. And David went up hither, and his two wives also, Ahinam the Jezreelite, and Abigail, Nabal's wife, the Carmelite, and his men that were with him did David bring up, every man with his household, and they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah, and they told David, saying that the men of Jabesh Gilead were they that buried Saul, And David sent messengers unto the men of Jabesh-Gilead and said unto them, Blessed be ye of the Lord, that ye have showed this kindness unto your Lord, even unto Saul, and have buried him. And we could go on and on with the story there. But what I wanted you to see there is the fact of, not straying too far from Psalm 21, but when David had that crown, when he was promoted to king, he didn't let it go to his head. He was promoted and he knew that it was in God's hands. All the time, I believe David knew for a long time that he was supposed to be the king, but yet there was much opposition. And when the opposition was there, it probably made him question from time to time, am I ever going to actually be the king? But when the time come, he wasn't bold and belligerent about it, and he wasn't caught up in it and prideful about it. He sought the Lord about every movement that he made there, and even to the fact that he goes, you know, some people would say, "Well, man, that Saul was David's enemy. He should be joying in the fact that." You know what? He's finally defeated. But what did he say there? He praised the men of Jabesh-Gilead that they had buried Saul. They had took care of him as well. Because even through all that, David honored Saul as the king up until the time that he was gone and he was promoted to it. But back in Psalm 21, where we were looking at there, in verse 3, just wanted to take you there and show you exactly where this took place, what's set up here in this chapter of Psalms, where it says, Thou settest a crown of pure gold upon his head. David is praising the Lord for what he's done in spite of Paul's opposition. But I want to show you his conduct as he was promoted to the king. And then the seventh thing that we see here is found in verse 4 of chapter 21. He said, He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days forever and ever. This is the prolonging in the cause. God can prolong the life of his own, both here on the earth and throughout eternity. Our life is in the hands of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 7 says, The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. And oh, how we see that. You know, we do see from time to time that a young Christian goes home to be with the Lord, and we don't question that, even though we do kind of question it from time to time. But I can tell you one thing. There's far more of the wicked that have died young than those that have lived for the Lord and served him. He gives us longer days. He prolongs our days, our life. And I think, honestly, he's given us this life to bring glory to him, first of all. And you know, the more time he gives us, the more time we've got to serve him, the more time we've got to try to bring others to him as well. It's the prolonging in the cause here. Turn over, well, you're right there. Turn over a page to chapter 23, familiar verses. Surely, chapter 23, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Talking about prolonging in the cause, prolong the Lord prolonging our days. Turn over to Psalm 91. One more place talks about that. There's many places, but one more here for example. Let's look at verse 14. Psalm 91, verse 14. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. The Lord says here in Psalm 91 and verse 16, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. The days that we are given in this life are given to us by the Lord, and we should certainly honor him with them. David, back in Psalm 21, was giving the Lord praise for giving him all that time and causing him to prosper as well, back in verse 3. But he also said that he asked life of thee, and thou givest him even length of days forever and ever. You know, I'm ready to go in that I know the Lord as my Savior, but I'm not ready to go because there's so much more that I'd like to see done. There's my family that I'd like to see more of. There's many in my family that I'd like to see come to know the Lord as their Savior. Now I've got children, of course. Now I've got grandchildren, and I want to see them come to the Lord as their Savior and call on him. But also there's folks I work with. There's other family, extended family that I have. You know, there's people around that we'd like to see come to know the Lord. I'd like to see this fellow that the pastor's talking about down here at McDonald's. I'd love to see that man trust the Lord as his Savior, and we should be praying for him as well. And you know, it's interesting what he said about that, the fact that somebody would scrabble over 2 cents. You know, I've said this before, this kind of off subject, but kind of on pastor subject there. And you know, we've got to the point where many times nowadays we pay with plastic, so to speak, or bank debit cards or whatever. However you pay is however you pay. But I've said this before, because of being a family that has experienced it, when you go to that first window and that little hole was there for your extra change, don't be afraid to throw it in there. It goes to a good cause. Oh, it's not so much a righteous cause, but if you ever have a child and you have to spend weeks upon months in a city and there's a Ronald McDonald House there, you will much appreciate that few cents that's been tossed in there. That's just a total side note there. We do this. I do the same. I don't frequent McDonald's very often, but if I got change, it goes in there, or I tell them just stick it in there. You know, you never know who you're helping at that point, and we just like to give back what portion has been given to us. But nonetheless, here, let's finish up with the last one. If we've got more time, we'll go further. But number 8 here is found in verse number 5. It says, his glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him. Lastly, we see here the praise in the cause. God gave David great glory as a king. There's no doubt about that. David was a great, great king, and much glory was given to him as the king. But yet, he gave him glory, honor, and majesty. They all show character of the glory here. God gave David glory as a king. In return, David brought glory back to the Lord, gave glory back to the Lord. Psalm 62 again. We were over there a while ago. There's a few more verses I'd like to look at. Psalm 62. I love how the Psalms are commentators on the Psalms here. It's just an extension of what David's wrote. Psalm 62 and verses 7 and 8. We already read verse 8, but we'll read it again. In God is my salvation, my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Back in Psalm 21, we see here what he's saying in verse 6. David, again, he's giving God the glory here for the strength that he's given him. For thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad at thy countenance. Excuse me, that's verse 6. Verse 5, his glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him. David is saying, Lord, you've been good to me, and I really don't deserve this, but I want to praise you for what you've done. Keep in mind that David here is kind of speaking of himself, but also keep in mind that, and we're not using that, so to speak, we're not really getting into that so much in the study, but David is a type of Christ as well, as we read through here. So that finishes up the first part there of that was the cause in the delight. And we're not going to get started. Next week we'll pick up here on the second part of the delight of the king, and that is found here. That's the character that we find. We looked at the cause of the delight. Next week we're going to look at the character of the delight, and then we'll go on from there into the second part, which is found in the remaining verses here of chapter 21. But there's no use in me starting. I get too many references, and we'll be here till 11, and Pastor will kick me out.